To talk more on what Russia's President Vladimir Putin had to say in his key foreign policy speech, here in the studio with me is Radio VR's Dmitry Babich. And joining us on the phone from London is Robert Olds, director of the Burgess Group, an independent all-party think tank. Welcome to the show, Robert. Welcome to the show, Dmitry.
Thank you.
Yes, nice to see you in the studio.
Now, Dmitry, earlier we were discussing Vladimir Putin's speech as it was happening live. Robert, did you get a chance to listen to Vladimir Putin's speech?
I did, yes. It was very revealing. And, of course, President Putin spoke about how he wanted to be engaging with the rest of the world, positively, Europe and America. But, of course, pointed out that they are countries, particularly America and, of course, supported by the European Union, are still following what he described as the same containment policy that existed during the Cold War. It's as if America has not moved on from the Cold War era and are still trying to take actions against Russia. But Vladimir Putin was clearly drawing a line in the sand and saying that, well, they've been pushed far enough and, of course, would take further action if indeed their interests were continued to be threatened by the European Union and by the United States of America.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. It really seems as if American policy, or let's call it Western foreign policy, has not developed in the last 20 or 30 years or more, which is really strange. There's an entire generation of diplomats that should have come out and should have been able to develop a new policy, and yet it seems as if we're still stuck back in the Cold War ideology time.
Yeah, this is me, Dmitry Babich. I think that the situation now is even worse during the Cold War, because if you look at the rhetoric right now, it is much more belligerent than in the 70s or 80s. For example, Obama talks about complete diplomatic isolation of Russia. I don't remember Carter or Reagan saying that.
Or going back even further.
Yes, and of course no one could even remotely imagine a civil war on the territory of Ukraine, which is, I would say, a Slavic heartland. It's not a small Baltic republic. The whole region, which is now in flames, Donetsk and Lugansk, these are 11 million people, which is like three Baltic countries taken together. So I think what's going on is a real tragedy, and Putin sort of explained to his diplomats that something should be done, we should defend our interests, but at the same time he kept talking about cooperation. I would point out that despite numerous personal attacks against him, you know, like Merkel saying that he lost touch with reality and other such things, there was not a single personal attack from him during this speech or in the previous days. He said a few words about Poroshenko, but basically what he said was that the so-called anti-terrorist operation was started by other people, but now that Poroshenko ordered the truce ended and the military activity restarted, he will bear the full responsibility. I don't think it's a personal attack. It's just sort of affirming the fact which is on the ground.
Now, Robert, Vladimir Putin did say that Poroshenko last night did say that he had resumed war, basically on civilians. And Vladimir Putin, in his speech, said that Poroshenko now has full responsibility for all actions that the military is taking in Ukraine. Robert, what is your opinion of that?
Absolutely. The Ukrainian authorities, the current regime that runs most of Ukraine at the moment, are, of course, fully responsible. They took power in what was an illegal coup, a putsch, largely sponsored by America and, of course, the European Union, and certainly encouraged politically. And they've been taking military action against civilians. Innocent civilians are being killed as a result of these military actions. Now, of course, it's all began because of the undemocratic overthrow of President Yanukovych in Western-backed putsch. That is what happened. The whole events of Maidan were fundamentally anti-democratic. And since then, people in the East have been killed by right-sector extremists. Civilians that have been protesting have been shot. This is hardly reported in the Western media. The Western media is thoroughly misrepresenting the situation and trying to pretend that this is these events were started by President Putin in Russia, and the whole narrative is about Russian expansionism, when actually it's the European Union and NATO and American involvement in Ukraine which has undermined that country and pushed it to the situation where people in the east of the country have taken up their right to self-determination, expressed that in a referendum that they want to be self-governing, whatever that may mean in terms of whether at some point full independence or, of course, effectively independent within a federal Ukraine is, of course, yet to be decided and was never clearly confirmed. But they've said they do not recognize the authorities in Kiev and have expressed that. And, of course, Kiev, as a result, is killing people war in the east of the country, fully supported by America and the European Union, who have been egging them on in this. And they, it's been described in this country, the European Union has blood on its hands, what it's been doing in Ukraine. They're not my words, but that's the words of what some people have said in this country. But of course, it's been failed to be reported properly in the Western media.
Now, Robert, I would like to point out that Putin did say something very interesting. He addressed, actually, the issue of the reporters that were not only being targeted in the Ukraine, but actually have been killed. In fact, we could probably even term it as assassinated, since they were shot either with sniper rifles or with other rifles. They were specifically targeted and killed. Now, Putin did ask a very important question here, and Robert, this is to you. Well, Putin asked, who is afraid of the truth coming out? And in your opinion, Robert, who is afraid of the truth coming out?
Well, it's quite clearly the European Union and NATO and America who are pushing for this. They're very concerned about the situation being recognised as one where it's actually been provoked by the West, and Russia has been backed into a corner. They desperately want to keep the narrative, President Putin focusing on him personally for policies within Russia and blaming Russian expansionism, when really the reality is that this is a fully direct result of course, the association agreement, the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement, the attempts to take Ukraine fully into the orbit of the European Union, which includes defence integration with the EU, foreign policy integration. This is all within the association agreement. It's not just a trade agreement, but of course, the Western media never reports this properly. So it's those countries in the European Union that have been pushing for Ukraine to be taken firmly into their orbit, when, of course, we know that Ukraine is, of course, a deeply divided society that could never really belong solely under the European Union's control. That's what President Poroshenko is trying to push it towards. That's what he's in favour of. That was what the Maidan protests were largely about. And, of course, America supports this. But, of course, the Western media wants to keep that narrative away from the people, because, of course, it doesn't fit within the foreign policy aims of the United States, NATO and the EU, which really wants to isolate Russia, back it into a corner, ultimately create regime change within Russia as well, and try and get a client government into that country, just like Belarus would probably be targeted next. There is a systematic policy coming from the West that is creating havoc in Ukraine first, all with the aim of isolating Russia, pushing it back, and trying to have a zero-sum turf war over the former Soviet states, and try and make sure they're not under the Russian orbit, and that Russia is, of course, under the control of the West, and not going to be objecting to the West's foreign policy ambitions in, say, for instance, countries in Syria, where, of course, Russia has effectively been proved right, as it was over the Iraq conflict. But, of course, countries in the West do not like that. They do not want Russia as an independent voice in the world, which Arta, at this time, is actually very needed.
On that note, let's change gears a little bit here, and let's talk about energy, because energy really seems to be the elephant in the room. It's something that nobody really wants to talk about, but in my opinion, that's really what the fight is all about here, either the energy coming through Russia or with Syria, actually using Syria as a pipeline coming from Qatar. But Dmitry, what's your take on this?
I would like to say that I agree with Robert Olds that all the misfortunes in Ukraine stem from the coup d'etat. And it was interesting that Putin, in his speech to the diplomats, said that we should strive for a sort of an insurance to make sure that on the European territory, I quote, there are no anti-constitutional coups, there is no interference into sovereign countries' internal affairs, there is no endorsement of what he called radical or neo-Nazi forces inside certain countries. I couldn't agree more. And I think that energy is just a part of the problem here. The general intention of the European Union and the United States was to create a regime which would be loyal to them in Ukraine. But energy was certainly a part of that. And right now, I think it was interesting that Putin said that he didn't believe Ukraine could be well provided by gas using the so-called reverse scheme, when Ukraine would get the gas that it needs from Western Europe. What happens is that Western Europe buys gas from Russia and then resells it to Ukraine for a certain amount of money. That amount of gas goes to Ukraine. So in a way, there is Russian gas competing with Russian gas. So that's an illegal scheme, very well known internationally. And Putin sort of exposed it in his speech. He said, I quote, we see everything. And I think his attitude to this problem is, I would say, calm. He sees all the moves of the West, even the most irrational ones, and he tries to counter these moves in a cold-blooded way, without conspiracy theories, personal attacks. He just says that Russia should develop and defend its own interests.
Robert, we have about a minute left. I'll give you the final word.
Yes, the West should really recognize that encroaching on Russian territory is, which of course ultimately the aim of this, parts of east of Ukraine really do have closer links with Russia, both politically, culturally, even economically, than they do with Western Europe. And it should be recognised that east of Ukraine is very different and should be allowed to determine its own future, they've expressed in a referendum. The continuing military operation against the east, against civilians in the east of Ukraine, Novorossiya, whatever we may wish to call it, the Donetsk People's Republic, that area should be recognised as being having the right to have self-determination, as the people have clearly expressed, and the Ukrainian government should not be killing the people in the east of Ukraine, and the West should cease their support for the government's actions against the people.
On that note, I'd like to say thank you for joining us. And speaking to us live from London was Robert Olds, the director of the Burgess Group, an independent all-party think tank, and Dmitry Babich, Radio VR's political analyst.